Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrock and Tommy Gester.
All right, welcome back, everybody. It's hour number two of Sports Daily on this Friday morning. Tommy Caster, Jacob Albrock, Max Power producing the program. A lot to get to in our second hour of the program. We'll be joined by the whole crew for our Friday football picks. In our next segment, we'll go through the entire slate of the college football calendar, and we'll make those picks. We've got some big lines to get to, not just locally, but also some of the top games in the country. We'll do that a little bit later on this hour. Also give you more headlines and talk more about Micah Parsons and all the different things going on around the NFL. That's all What's on Tap. What's on Tap is brought to you by Wichita Brewing Company, featuring Yumkin Pumpkin Ale, WBC's most popular seasonal beer that's made with actual pumpkin and served with a spiced rim. Yumkin Pumpkin, now available at Wichita Brewing Company. Pizza and beer made here. Let's talk a little golf to kick off our second hour. Our golf expert, our golf insider, our buddy Eric Johnson from Swing 365 Golf here in Wichita, joining us on the program. Happy Friday, my friend. Good to see you. I think we've got Eric. I'm not sure we can hear you, Eric. I think you can hear us, but I'm not sure that. There we go. How we doing, buddy?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. Glad you could be here.
The Cowboys have been a better day, but.
Yeah, it has been with Micah Parsons getting moved to Green Bay. But we're glad to have you here on the show. Good to talk some golf here this morning. I want to talk Ryder Cup with you. That's why we wanted to bring you in. Of course, we've got the entire U.S. team all set. Captain Keegan Bradley making his captain's picks and all of that. I want to start because, I know you've been around the game of golf for a long time. You've coached. You have captained. You've led teams, things like that. And the big storyline has been, obviously, Keegan Bradley did not pick himself to play in the Ryder Cup, and he was in a position to do that. I'd love to know from your perspective what that means for the Ryder Cup team, for the other players on that team, to know that Keegan Bradley is not going to play and just going to captain the team.
Well, I mean, Keegan's a USA guy through and through. When he stated that, I was picked to be a captain, I'm going to be a captain. So, I mean, from a leadership standpoint, I think it shows those guys that, hey, I got you. I feel like everybody I picked is going to contribute. You don't need me. I'm just going to stand out here and get this New York crowd riled up.
How different is team golf compared to individual golf? I know, obviously, you've coached, for a while, but then you've also competed as an individual yourself. So when you've got a Ryder Cup type setting and it's, obviously nationalities like USA versus Europe, all of that, you've got the patriotism that comes in. How different is team golf in your experience compared to individual golf?
I mean, the guys you pair up, you think you're picking them right. You think, this guy matches up against this guy really well, but it really boils down to individually. That person's got to show up and play good golf. I don't know how many times you've seen a 45 seed beat a 1 seed, whether it's in the USAM or the Dell match play. It doesn't matter. Anything can happen. You got to remember those guys from the 12th guy to the first guy, the shot per round difference is so minimal that they're all pretty even. We get it. Rory and Scotty are different to some degree, but for the most part, you got 22 guys that are a shot apart on an average round. So it just depends on who's going to show up, who can handle the nerves, who can hit it. It's a whole different atmosphere, especially as you get later and all of a sudden your teammates are standing around the green going, I lost, you need to win, you know, so it can build.
How different is that environment for a Ryder Cup? I mean, obviously, when you watch it on TV and, you know, you've got the rowdy fans and all of that that are, you know, yeah. they're cheering USA, they're chanting USA, they're booing the international team, like all of that. What is that environment and that atmosphere like?
I went to Whistling Straits the first day, and I mean, every shot you got the goosebumps. I mean, that's how intense it was. You know, one second you're just standing there, and then all of a sudden Jim Furyk and Steve Stricker are standing there watching you putt or watching you hit from the middle of the fairway. It's like, oh, okay, what's going on here? You know, and then the next thing, you know, Michael Jordan's standing on the tee box watching you. So, I mean, it gets intense. There's a lot of pressure to it.
I just want to ask real quick, Eric, we know Gary Woodland, Kansas native, is a vice captain, the final vice captain. He's not going to play, but what will his role be? What does a vice captain do here?
Kind of a gopher, you know, he's out on the course, you know, Keegan can't be in every group. You know, the first day that I think there'll be four groups out. So, you know, that's not bad, but, he'll be out there talking to the guys, reporting back to Keegan. If he needs Keegan to come give some guy a pep talk, he'll radio Keegan and say, get over here to number five and get Sam Burns cheered up.
It's crazy because going back to Keegan Bradley for a second as the captain, just the way the last couple of years have panned out for him, where he wasn't selected on Zach Johnson's team, even right. though he had a case to be selected on Zach Johnson's Ryder Cup team, he didn't. I would argue that a massive reason as to why he was selected to be the captain this year was because he was not selected to be on the team 2 years ago. Now he's playing well enough to play in the Ryder Cup as well, but he's not going to because he's the captain. It's a wild journey, a wild path for a guy, as you mentioned, Eric, that just like bleeds red, white, and blue. He's been, you know, that kind of that emotional guy, one of them at least. Like you can think of Patrick Reed as one of those guys as well, that really embodies the American squad. But you've got guys on this roster, you know, obviously Scottie Scheffler has been the best golfer on the planet, you know, for basically this entire season. And even before that, he's on the team. You've got, you know, a bunch of other guys that can contribute in a large way. I know that the Americans have been snake bitten recently. We're a little bit under a month away. If you had to give a prediction right now, is this going to be a good result, do you think, for the Americans?
I think it's going to be closer than you think.
Okay.
I mean, the European guys are, I mean, that roster is stacked.
Yeah.
You know, we've got the best 12 guys, I think. You know, I thought there was maybe one, but I mean, they're all so close that, and they were playing so hot coming down the stretch that I thought one interesting fact that people were upset Jordan Spieth didn't get picked. Well, I mean, the biggest news Jordan Spieth made all year was that he got it out of his medical from having wrist surgery.
So yeah.
I think it's going to be close. I'm not going to, I mean, hopefully I want the U.S. to win, but I think it's going to be close. And, you know, Keegan being a Northeast guy, I mean, it's going to be on fire up there. I mean, those New York people are going to be gassed up.
All right. Eric, I want everybody to take a look if you're watching the video stream right now at where Eric is. So Eric is inside Swing 365 right now, and I want you to envision a Sunday afternoon watching some football or a Saturday afternoon watching some football and just taking some hacks back there behind him on that simulator. It's a private facility, Swing 365. There are memberships, so you don't have to worry about anything. You just sign up for your time. You go in, everybody will leave you alone. You can bring your own food and drinks in there. You can do whatever you want in there and hit some golf balls at the same time. And we have an opportunity for you to check it out for a week for free right now by texting the keyword swing to 20357. Swing to 20357 gets you an opportunity for a week there to see why this is such a cool idea, Eric. I got to tell you, it's been pretty cool being able to go in there for me, just like watch baseball game. I can't even comprehend two screens of football and the simulator.
Yeah, we're going to we've got some specials going. You can see it all on our social media, but we're actually going to, it's eligible to rent the space for a game. So we're going to do that. It's going to be a 4 hours rental, unlimited guests. You can watch them on the TVs or you can put it on the screen back here. So we're going to do that. We've got some specials on the website. It's all at 365wichita.golf is where it's at. But anything, we'll probably have some open houses coming up now that the weather's kind of turned so people can stop by. So I know I came in and cleaned up after a guy's the other night watching baseball. There's a lot of beverage and pizza boxes in the trash can. So.
Wasn't me. Wasn't me and Tommy.
There was no H2O in here. I know that.
That's right. No H2O cups. No, there was nothing in there. It wasn't us. It's I'm telling you, it's, and as the weather changes and the courses are going to slow down a little bit, it's something to check out. So win that opportunity right now. Swing 20357, go to swing365golf.com/Wichita and see what Eric's talking about. Check him out on social media and go USA in the dang Ryder Cup. Let's go.
Yeah, we got 3 weeks. We'll get back to it. Something will happen between now and then. Somebody will gas somebody up.
Why not? Why not get fired up for USA versus, well, Europe, I guess, but the world. I mean, let's
don't send Terry Jones.
Yeah.
I'm with you, Jay.
It's the right move. As much as it's going to suck watching him just annihilate quarterbacks for the next 4 years, it's the right move for the Cowboys. Right. All right, Eric, we appreciate it.
Hey, guys.
There goes Eric Johnson. You got to check out Swing 365. I'm telling you.
You did a fantasy football draft there just the other day.
I did a fantasy football draft there, and it was perfect. I'll tell you what we did, Tommy. We have no time here, but we hooked in like where the group was back in Texas. I took like an HDMI cord and put it in so they were on the screen with us. We had the K-State-Iowa State game on behind us, and we're at the driving range on the simulator in between picks. It was awesome with some wings and some beers. It was great. Swing 365. Check it out. All right, we'll come back. We're going to make some football picks next. How about it? We return.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not
outside of Cleveland. You know the Browns outside of
Browns. You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's do this thing. Go!
Sports Daily is on KFH.
Hey, sports bettors, ready for some picks destined to fail? It's time to hear what the Sports Daily staff thinks of the weekend games.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. It is picks here on Sports Daily. We've got Brandon Zinner in. I'm seeing TJ with notification silenced here this morning, so we'll see if he's awake.
Uh-oh.
That's never a good sign. We've got Paul Savage in, who is also doubling over as our scribe. Mr. Savage, how was the damage last week on some wacky? We're going to do some wacky picks again this week, but how was it last week?
Well, I didn't figure it. Do you have the figures with you?
I don't have the figures. No,
I've got them at the house. Okay, I do not know. I did not
That's
figure.
That's a great start.
Paul's responsibility.
I didn't know I was responsible for him.
I know I got the Bears preseason win over the Chiefs. The cover, I think, is.
Well, I think most of us did. Most of us did.
I did not. No, I did not. I picked the Chiefs to cover that. I know I missed that.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what. I'm sorry. I did not realize that I was like the official scorer now. Yeah. I didn't know. Yeah. So it's okay. I've got the sheet. I've got the sheet.
You got it at home. We'll tally it up after this week. All right. You've got them. You'll write them down.
I can tell you right now that I missed the K-State game, I missed the KU game, and I missed the Chiefs
overs,
game.
Overs-unders, I can't believe
it. I don't know about overs-unders, but I know at least the spread on all three of those games I'm pretty sure I missed.
Well, a lot of us did. Yeah. I mean, we all went with K-State.
Just a little more normal this week here with picks. So we've got six games to pick here this week, and we will get you to it. Max, let's hit it. Let's jump right in. I don't know who won last week, so we'll just have our defending champion, Paul Savage, go first again this week.
That's fine. That's
Paul will start in the college game. We do have one NFL game to pick this week. We'll start in the college ranks with the first marquee matchup of the day, Texas and Ohio State. Ohio State is a 1.5-point home favorite. Paul, where are you going with this one?
Well, listen, this is an interesting pick because, first of all, where is Texas with regards to Arch Manning? I mean, I look at the kid and when he's supposed to be starting, like as a freshman out of high school. I mean,
another NFL guy there in front of him.
I get it, but I don't know what's going on with Arch Manning. I mean, but I'll tell you what, I'm going to give the kid credit. He stood his ground and he says, I'm not going anywhere. I want to be at Texas. This is where I want to be. I'll put my dues in. I'll do what I got to do. I'll just go. I'll go ahead and collect my $8 million a season. It's okay. $8 million will get me, it'll get me through until I get the reins of this football team. And now he has them. But listen, we all know that we don't know anything about some of these teams until we see them play. I mean, I thought K-State was going to be better than they looked. I thought Boise State was going to be better than they were. There's been a lot of that. I thought Nebraska was going to be better than they showed last night.
They won the game, Paul. They won the game,
but I thought it would, with a returning quarterback, a solid roster, not a lot of problems with portal kids leaving and all that. I just thought Nebraska was set to do better than they look. Now, maybe Cincinnati's better than they are. But I don't know with Texas and Ohio State where these two teams are. I'm going to say that going to the Horseshoe is going to be tough. That's what I'm going to say. I'm going to say it's going to be a tough place to play. I'm going to take Ohio State and give the 1.5 because I have questions about Texas's quarterback until I see him play. I'm taking Ohio State.
Tommy, this is a tough one. PJ Glasser, who nailed yesterday's games, liked Ohio State in this one. Do you agree?
Well, I think that there's a good possibility that after tomorrow's game, the entire country knows who Julian Sain is as the starting quarterback for Ohio State. I don't think many people are, they know him very well. They know much about him. But he could bust onto the stage in a big way tomorrow. That being said, until we know that for sure, I'm not comfortable taking Ohio State right now until we know what we have in this kid. So I'm going to take Texas. I think that Texas, especially as underdogs, I'll probably actually take them on the money line, but I like them plus 1.5.
Nerd alert, TJ just woke up and has the glasses on still.
You guys sure this doesn't
TJ.
Start at 8:30? I'm pretty sure it starts at 8:30.
No, it's just been 8:15 for about 5 years now. That's all. We're still in our first game here, so Texas, Ohio State -1.5. What do you have?
I'll take Ohio State. I like Julian Sain. College game day, all the things going on in Columbus. And Texas always finds a way to mess up being one of the best teams in the country. So started off hot. They're going to fall out of number one after 1 week.
It's Brandon. I don't – man, going to that venue in the first game – of the year. Like, that seems insurmountable. Do Arch and the Longhorns have it in them?
Everything that Paul said is exactly why I am taking the Texas Longhorns. I have just as much questions about Julian Sain. Chip Kelly also leaves Ohio State in the offseason. They lose their offensive line coach. Now they do have the best offensive and defensive players in the country, Caleb Downs and Jeremiah Smith. But C.J. Baxter, that is a guy at Texas, the running back that we might hear his name called in the first round next year, maybe the best running back in the entire country. I trust him and Arch Manning a lot with Steve Sarkisian. Give me the Longhorns on the road.
I will tell you this as I go last year. I like Texas more than Ohio State for sure this year. Arch Manning, what's he done? Well, he's had opportunities. He only completed about 70% of his passes through 9 touchdowns to 2 interceptions last year and ran it for about 4.5 yards a carry for 4 more touchdowns. Granted, it was a lot of mop-up duty, and I get that. But not all. You know, he played Mississippi State. He's played a little football. He's played more than the Ohio State quarterback. So let's go. Let's go. I can't root for Ohio State in this game. Like, I can't do that. Let's go, Texas. Go get, take the 1.5, win it by a point, and give me the Longhorns. Here we go. All right, the next marquee game of the day, LSU at Clemson. Tommy, you can start us here. PJ Glasser liked LSU in this game, getting the 3.5 points. Two teams that we do have a couple of quarterbacks everybody likes in this game. What do you like?
I think I like the points as well in this game. I don't have an extremely solid read either way necessarily. Give me the points. Give me LSU if I'm going to get points on that. I know that, you know, both teams obviously have lost, you know, some pretty primetime players. And I know Clemson still has Cade Klubnik and all of that. He's got that experience. But I think just because LSU is getting the points, I'll go ahead and take them and take the points.
All right, TJ, you agree?
I just watched that SEC documentary, the Any Given Saturday or whatever, and basically the biggest takeaway you can take from that is that Brian Kelly always finds a way to kind of screw up something in the early season at LSU. Talking to Dylan Domang, our resident Louisianian, whatever that word is, in the newsroom, loves LSU and always complains, and he says he's just not looking forward to this game because it's going to be some weird LSU stuff. So I like Cade Klubnik. I'd probably pick Clemson anyway, so give me Clemson.
All right. That takes us to Brandon. So we got one LSU, one Clemson. No Islands are going to be available in this game.
Clemson is my preseason national champion pick. Cade Klubnik, Antonio Williams, he might be the second best wide receiver outside of Jeremiah Smith. I like them to be able to get it done at home.
All right. That's me. I'll take LSU and I'll take the points. The offense seems like it's going to be really good this year. I don't know what to make of Clemson, but there'll always be good. LSU will always be good. So give me the Tigers in those points, Paul.
Money's my big deciding factor on this, and right now Clemson's dumping a ton of money into their football program. They're going to be good for the years to come because they are throwing that cash around and they are getting the right kind of kids that will come and play great football. Some of the best talent in the United States is heading towards Clemson. I'm taking Clemson because that big money's starting to pay off Clemson, maybe by more than a touchdown.
I think I think Paul likes Clemson there because they were like the last team in the country to pick up somebody out of the transfer portal.
Well, yeah, that's not necessarily the only reason.
I think he also likes Clemson because Dabo's on record saying he hates NIL. So that's probably a major reason why Paul likes the Tigers.
But he is sure playing with it, though, isn't it? He may hate it, but he uses it.
On Friday nights, we get to see Paul Savage run out on the field like Dabo for the
There you go. Absolutely.
All right, LSU at Clemson. Notre Dame at Miami. All these true road games to start. It's wild. Notre Dame's going on the road to Miami. It's the old Catholics versus Convicts reimagined. 2.5-point home dogs, TJ. Miami is against Notre Dame. What do you like?
That is tough being a true road game in week one, but I really like Notre Dame. I think Miami, just losing what they lost last year in Cam Ward, they were really, really good a year ago, and I think that they're going to be riding the coattails a little bit. Obviously they bring in Carson Beck, but I don't know who believes in Carson Beck that much. I like Notre Dame a lot. I like Marcus Freeman. Give me Notre Dame.
Brandon?
Yeah, Carson Beck hasn't really done a whole lot this entire offseason. He's had the elbow issue.
Lost his Lamborghini.
Yeah, there's a lot of momentum around Notre Dame. I think Marcus Freeman might be the best coach in the country. Jeremiah Love might be the Heisman winner at the end of the year. Give me Notre Dame.
Look, I love this rivalry. It's one of my favorite rivalries all time in its glory days. I'll take Notre Dame because I'm with you guys. I just trust them a little bit more. Miami's always feeling love early in the season. Notre Dame's been backing up the preseason love. 2.5 on the road's a tough line. It's tough to give those points, but I'm going to do it. I'll take Notre Dame. Paul?
That's interesting. You know something? I think I smell an island coming on. And Miami might not be a bad place to have an island. Might not be. Now, listen, I honestly think under normal circumstances, if I didn't have this island staring me in the face, I think I would take Notre Dame along with you guys. But I see, I'm looking at Tommy. I'm trying to read him, trying to read his face. But it's very stoic. He's not giving me the signs. I think he's going to take Notre Dame, too. I think this might be a good place to try an island. You're giving me 2.5 at Miami. I think I'm going to go ahead and take Miami.
All right, Tommy, you going to give him that island?
I am going to give him that island.
I knew it.
This is my favorite bet of the entire weekend. In fact, if the line was 6.5, I would still take Notre Dame and lay those points on the road. The reason for that is because Mario Cristobal has been absolutely terrible with his teams against ranked opponents. His teams are 1-12 straight up against ranked teams. His teams just flat out don't win against ranked opponents. And I think Notre Dame is so much more proven. And I know we're talking against the spread here, that he's 6-7 against the spread in his career against ranked teams. So still not a very good record, still under 500. I'm going to lay those points. I think Notre Dame is more proven. We don't know how Carson Beck will be able to run the system in Miami. There's so much more confidence that I have in Notre Dame, even on the road, even laying those points. Give me the Fighting Irish.
All right, let's start in the college games we care the most about with the one tonight, Wagner at KU. 45.5 points you got to lay here with Wagner and KU. I get the lucky draw of going first here. These lines are so outrageous. Here's what I'll tell you. Last week, KU showed us with a big lead. They were willing to back it off a little bit and kind of ride that lead into the sunset. For no other reason, I will take Wagner plus 45.5 because KU may jump out to another big lead and just ride it off into the sunset. Give me the Seahawks. I'll take the 45.5 points. What do you think about that, Paul?
Well, I'm trying to figure what state is Wagner in, by the way? Does anybody?
I don't know.
I'm not sure I know.
Staten Island. Come on, Paul.
It's in what?
New York City's football team.
Oh, it's in New York City. I didn't even know that.
Are there any Seahawks in New York City?
That's a good question. I'm not aware of any, but there could be. Now, listen, the 45 points is absolutely scary, but the fact that we don't even know where Wagner is tells you something. How many, and my question I'm asking myself right now, how many defensive touchdowns does KU score? I think they probably score one, maybe two on picks or, you know, name your way. But I'm just thinking there's going to be some special teams touchdowns. There's going to be, let's say, 2 to 3 touchdowns with special teams or on defense. And with that being said, I think I'm going to go ahead and take KU. I think I'm going to go ahead. I know this sounds crazy. That's too many points, isn't it? That's too many points. But I think KU covers because they're going to have 2 or 3 touchdowns on other than just offensive series. So I'm going to go ahead and take KU.
Tommy, it costs $50,000 a semester or a year to go to Wagner. They got to be good at something. Are they good at football? Good enough to cover 45.5 here?
Yeah, I don't have any clue. I don't know anything about Wagner. But I will tell you this. Lance Leipold at Kansas is 1-3 against the spread when they play FCS teams. He's only covered the spread one time in his tenure at Kansas when they played FCS teams. And it's not because they're not beating these teams. They're just not beating them by the margins that, you know, I think the bettors are, the sports books are putting out for them. You know, outside of a cover in 2022 against Tennessee Tech, they have not covered the spread against Missouri State, against South Dakota, and against Lindenwood in 2023. So knowing that and knowing the fact that they kind of went on cruise control in the second half last week against Fresno State, I got to take the points. I'm taking the points here. It's far too many points. Give me Wagner. I'll take those points.
Wagner's not as good as any of those schools, I don't think, that you just listed off.
It's 45 and a half.
And Andrew Bailey, who's a pitcher in the big leagues, and Gerard Malanga, who I don't know who that is, but I'm told by the internet he's a notable alumni here. You know, TJ, what are you like? You going Wagner here? You going the Seahawks in this one?
First of all, Tommy, do you remember that Lindenwood game? I was in Kansas City for that one. It was like 55 and a half point spread.
Yeah.
And they only didn't cover because Lindenwood kicked a field goal as time expired.
Yeah. No, I remember that one. I also remember the South Dakota game where they only won 17-14. That was an anomaly.
Anyways, give me KU. I think that they might cover this in the first half. I can't imagine Wagner is worth any damn at football. I think it's going to be 50-0 at halftime.
Yeah, I watched Missouri last night, and it made me think, boy, KU could really probably do that to Wagner, Brandon. You taking the Hawks, or are you taking the 45.5 points?
Well, I'm taking the Hawks. It's just the Jayhawks of Kansas. They just spend more on their football team than Wagner. I don't trust Wagner to be able to go on the road at all. So, yeah, go ahead and give me KU, and I'll also cash the over on the amount of segments we're going to have to do to be able to get all these picks, and we're
all right.
Almost
no, there. No, we got two more. We're good. We've got 2 minutes and two picks. Here we go. K-State, 27-point favorites against North Dakota. Brandon, you're up first.
No confidence in Kansas State, but I'm gonna take them. I'll probably lose it, but
Paul.
You know something? I have no confidence either. This is a team that has not met my expectations. It's a team that has had lots of distractions this week in particular. Listen, I think North Dakota, sometimes these Dakota schools, they can sneak up on you. I'm going to go ahead and take North Dakota. I think they're going to cover.
Tommy?
North Dakota and the points.
Give me the points as well. They'll win by 26. TJ, you got a K-State?
Paul, I think you're thinking of North Dakota State. This is not them. Give me K-State.
All right, one more NFL football, Cowboys-Eagles. We got no time. I'll go first. Give me the Cowboys, baby! No Micah Parsons, no problem. I'm taking the 7. Brandon?
The Cowboys are not paying anybody. Give me the Eagles.
TJ?
Eagles.
Tommy?
Eagles for sure. Fly, Eagles, fly.
Paul?
To Eagles as well.
Yeah! That's what I'm talking about. We'll walk it off with the Cowboys. Not just that, they're going to win on the money line. Let's go. That's picks, everybody. You know, this is normally going to be the time, and we're excited to get some high school football talk on the show. We'll keep TJ around. Paul's coaching again with the Aces, and we'll chat high school football. It's a new high school football segment we've got coming for you starting next week, correct, Tommy?
That's right.
That all gets going next week. There's going to be a scoreboard show this year on KFH, so it'll be a lot of fun as we do that. But that all starts next week. This week, fellas, we got college football. Like, it's go time. KU, K-State. I don't know that we need to be in any, you know, fear of anything wacky happening. We had some fun with point spreads and how outrageous they are for this game. But we'll start with KU, Tommy, who plays tonight. I don't even know what I want to see tonight. I don't really care about much other than KU stays healthy, gets through the game, gets the reps, get maybe a little more time watching Jalen Daniels work with these wide receivers. And I suppose I would want to see the defense flex again. I wouldn't want to see them show any chinks. Whether they're ultimately good or not when they start playing good teams, I certainly want them to look dominant today.
It's a big reason why I'm taking the points in our picks in the last segment, because I think there's a pretty good likelihood that we don't see Jalen Daniels for a lot of the second half. I think we'll see Cole Ballard. I think we'll see Isaiah Marshall. I think we'll see the backup QBs and the backup offense in general, probably at some point in the third quarter. There's really no reason, especially if the Jayhawks jump out to a really good start, that we see them late into the game. I have a feeling it will follow the same kind of blueprint that we saw a week ago when KU played Fresno State. The reason for that is because they've got a massive rivalry matchup next week against Missouri. So you're right on when you say staying healthy and getting through this particular game. You don't want to put your players in a position to where you're risking them for next week's game on the road in Columbia taking on Missouri. So I think that's obviously a big reason why I'm taking the points in this game, because I think we'll see the Jayhawks get out to a big lead early and then probably take their foot off the gas in the second half and start bringing in the second and third stringers.
Paul, what we saw exactly what we wanted to in the first game for KU. So what is it that you want to see now in this second game?
Well, whatever I want to see, I won't see. I can tell you that right now, because you're going to see you may not see, for instance, you may not see Jalen up until maybe the second series of the third quarter. You're not going to see very much of him. You're not going to see much zone read keep stuff. He's not going to run the football. They're not going to take much of a chance with Jalen. And so I'm kind of thinking to myself, this is just a really good opportunity to get a lot of kids a lot of playing time. Some kids that maybe won't see the field hardly anymore after this game. So this is a chance to do some things for those kids. You're not going to see – KU is not going to unveil anything, like a new front, like a new coverage, like some new routes, some new play. You're not going to see any of that. And rightfully so, they don't need to do that, and they won't do that. And keep your quarterback healthy. Don't play him much. Don't run him hardly at all. Let your backs do the work. And that's what you're going to see. I don't think you're going to see much of anything in terms of KU football other than coming out, you know, grinding it out, running the clock, getting the game over. And that's what it's going to be. It's going to be kind of a boring football game more than likely, unless you're just a diehard KU guy like Tommy Caster.
Yeah. It's fine. I mean, it's fine. It's just another, it's kind of another exhibition game. At least it better be.
Right, right.
K-State's a little different. North Dakota's going to be better than Wagner. I think we have some more questions we need to see get answered by K-State after the Ireland game. We need to see what this offense can look like without Dylan Edwards again. More time to prepare for that, I would suspect, means a better outcome. Certainly playing against a team like North Dakota instead of Iowa State would indicate to you a better outcome. Tommy, do we need to see the offense flex pretty hard here to make us feel good again?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I think we would love to see that, right? Like, there would be nothing better than for the Wildcats to come back from Ireland after the disappointing trip and just absolutely curb stomp North Dakota. Like, that'd be fun, but I don't think the Wildcats need to do that. I don't think they have to do that. And I don't think they will do that. I think that this is more of a come down period for them after the disappointing trip where they can sort of get their bearings, get themselves collected. They're not going to have Dylan Edwards. I think they need to right that ship a little bit. And I think that they're going to be, fairly cautious and conservative in that approach. Because remember, as we talked about a lot of this week, the path for the Wildcats is the Big 12 conference race. That's it. So this game this week doesn't really matter for them. The game against Army doesn't really matter for them. Even Arizona, which is not a conference game this year, doesn't really matter for them. So as much as I think collectively as a fan base, people would love to see them dominate in a game tonight to feel better about the team, I'm not so sure that's going to happen.
Paul, do you have any less confidence in K-State as an overall outlook on this as you did before the Ireland game?
Yes, I have less than I did before. And part of the reason is, but I've got to also, you know, couch that statement with regards to the travel. We saw the clips of Coach making comments about, well, they traveled all night. They were on a plane all night long. We let them sleep a bunch on Friday. I know their sleep schedules, everything was really thrown into havoc with regards to travel and whatever it took. I get that, but Iowa State was probably in a similar boat. I really do not know that this K-State is the K-State that we all thought they might be going into this season. So we'll see. I guess I'm still skeptical. I saw a team that I thought should have been better than Iowa State. I'm going to give Iowa State a lot of credit. They're very good. But I sure thought K-State would show more than they showed us last week. So, I'm a skeptic at this point, a little skeptical. Let's see what happens. We'll know a little bit more after Saturday, but not a lot more. But, yeah, I don't know this K-State team is the team that we all think it's going to be. We'll just have to see.
See, and this is what gets weird about scheduling a game against Iowa State overseas to start the year. K-State was, you know, played a much better second half. Like, all of these things, like, they could have easily, you know, played some garbage team. No offense to any of those teams, but you know what I'm saying. Like, they could have easily done that, and we'd be riding high. Like, I don't want to penalize them too much for going and playing that game overseas in those circumstances and doing all the things that we did. Like, did you watch last night's Nebraska game and now are down on Nebraska? The K-State and Iowa State took the boldest steps on how to open a season a week ago. I don't want to let that cloud an overall look. I'm more worried about the Dylan Edwards injury than I'm worried about the overall outlook for K-State, because they lost to Iowa State in that game. That was always a possibility. It was, I mean, what was it, a 3-point spread? Like, Iowa State's good. We knew. I mean, Iowa State's always good. So I don't want to overthink it here. Like, I still think they're going to be good. I would still, assuming Dylan Edwards is back by the start of conference play, be very comfortable picking them to win this league. Like, I don't think any of that's changed because they went overseas and lost a weird bad weather game in Ireland.
Yeah, and I don't want to suggest that the reason why I'm a little bit more down on them is because they lost the game. It's a combination of the Dylan Edwards injury and the way that the Wildcats played with Dylan Edwards not on the field. And it's not just on Edwards, but it's the fact that, you know, like, Joe Jackson wasn't as effective as Dylan Edwards probably would have been had he been able to play in that game. It was, I think, collectively the penalties that the Wildcats had and the turnovers, the mistakes. And I get it. It's early in the season. And you're right when you say that there are a lot of teams that play cupcake games to get themselves back into game form. There's no preseason in college football. You are right out of the gate taking on competition. So that's why a lot of teams schedule opponents that they can sort of have a, you know, kind of a de facto preseason game against, where they can get themselves back into game form with one or two non-conference games. So I understand all of that, but the way in which they performed on Saturday, when they were in the game, they were competing, but they shot themselves in the foot. Those are things that absolutely have to be cleaned up moving forward, or they will have no shot to win the Big 12. They will have no shot to make it into the CFP. It's already going to be a difficult path for them, but that's why I think I'm maybe the most concerned, is just because of the mistakes that we saw them make in Ireland over the weekend.
And we have just glossed over a little bit about the disappointment that I had in watching K-State's defense. There were a few glitches on this defense that need to be fixed. And I'm just telling you right now, they are not as good defensively right now as, or I should say, maybe with this group. And I'm not sure how to play this out. You know, it's only been one game, but they've got a couple things on defense. They've got to get sorted out a little bit.
They've got to stop fourth down. I mean, like, that was the key factor. Well, they could not stop Iowa State on fourth down.
Yeah, and the run, there are some glitches right now,
sure,
on that front that have to be fixed. You go into Big 12 play, you know, you got to stop the run on an occasion. So I'm just
now in the Big 12.
Yeah,
the Big 12 runs the ball. It's
they do.
Arizona
State's going to run the, you know,
Big 12. They can run it. Okay, at least we got a good pass rush there, it would appear. That did look strong. I do. So, like, I guess the point of all this for me is, like, for KU, there's not really any outcome here that's likely that's going to change anything for me. Like, you know, like, nothing's not other than absolute disappointment. Like, nothing's going to happen where I'm like, oh man, can you believe they waxed Wagner? For K-State though, I do think we need to see them look good just to sort of settle things down a little bit, get a good efficient Avery Johnson game, be able to run the ball a little bit and smother them defensively. I do think that has some value. And so I think there's a little bit more pressure on them to perform at a high level this weekend. That being said, a lot of us, 4 touchdowns is a lot. That's what that line, which is where we picked that. But, you know, if they win this game by 3 scores or so, or if they're just totally comfortable and have it in hand at any point, that's going to go a long way, I think, to reassuring K-State fans that everything's okay. Real quick, Paul, we've already hit on this. What'd you think of the Micah Parsons trade?
Well, I thought it was coming because of the money situation with Jerry. So we thought it was coming.
I want you to, you're in the seat. Are you taking the first round picks the defensive tackle, a three-time Pro Bowler, and $47 million, or are you taking Micah Parsons?
I think I'm going to go ahead and take the picks, and here's why. Part of the reason was that, if I'm not mistaken, Tommy, wasn't that the biggest contract, non-quarterback contract in the history of the NFL?
Yep.
A lot of money for one guy. Lots of money for one guy. A lot of money for who knows what, you know, where you get to that point. But is Parsons a great player? Yeah, he's a great player. Sure, he's a great player. But I like the picks. And for Jerry, he's not having to shell out, what was it, $187 million? Is that sound right, somewhere in that area?
$188 million.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm just telling you, I figured it. I mean, I didn't think he was going to come back. Jerry, I think last week I said the money part of this whole thing is going to be on Jerry Jones's mind.
This might be a cop out, I think, in general. But, like, I've seen a lot of people, you know, some are mad at Jerry and the Cowboys. Some are mad at the Packers. I think it's good for both sides. Like, I'm happy with both the Cowboys and the Packers for getting it done.
It makes sense for both sides.
Think.
Yeah, the Packers, I don't agree with you that they were Super Bowl caliber before the trade. I know you put them there. I think this certainly gets them closer. And it's kind of a one-ish year proposition, maybe two. So they're going for it, and I don't have any problem with that. The Cowboys, I'd love for them to be able to go for it, but they're not good enough. So, like, then what are you doing here? So, I agree completely. I think both teams did a nice job here. That'll do it. Thanks to Brandon and TJ and Paul for coming in and making those picks. Always a lot of fun. Feels good to be back in the groove. We'll have NFL picks next week. We've got Royals baseball tonight. Coverage begins at 7 right here on KFH. We've got K-State football coverage beginning Saturday right here with us on KFH. 4 o'clock it begins. That moves the Royals to KNSS, 1330 a.m. at 6. Butler will open the season on KNSS FM at 6:30. It's that time of the year. We got all kinds of programming happening here on the Fan.
It's going to be a lot of fun. Looking forward to recapping college football, the Royals, all of that, and the huge marquee college football matchups over the weekend. We'll do that on Tuesday.
It'll be a blast. Thanks for being here with us. We'll see everybody. Ruby Tuesday.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.